Hello everyone and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area to visit Walt Disney World, Universal Studios, SeaWorld, or any of the other attractions in Central Florida, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to try any of the DVC resorts for really, really good prices, staying at the Boardwalk, Old Key West, Poly, Grand Floridian, Saratoga Springs, any of the DVC resorts, contact David's at dvcbyrequest.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for anything in the Central Florida area, contact our friends at Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And last but not least, if you need to book a trip anywhere in the world, and especially Walt Disney World, contact me at American Tourist Travel, and we will help you out with all your travel needs. So that's it, guys. We're going to hop on the train and head on over to the pub.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, John. Pull up a stool, buddy. How you doing today?
I'm all right, Doug. But you know, one of the reasons I don't mind working Sundays is because there's a lot less traffic. But apparently, everybody from the stupid surprise race they had this weekend is all leaving at the same time on a Sunday afternoon. So I've been trapped trying to get off Disney property now for 25 minutes. I love it when, you know, something you anticipate takes a dump on you anyway.
Yeah, it sucks, John. All I see, there's a lot of vloggers and stuff like that that are running in the race. So I see, that's why I asked you right before the show. So I said, you got another race down there. Like, what is it, the new thing Disney's doing now? Now they're going to, it looks, and I'm not trying to start to show off with trash in Disney. This is something we've all talked about. They cannot let a good thing just be a good thing. They got to totally make it. Is it going to be races all year, like now having food and wine all year?
They'll get to a point where they have to do one a month, and then they'll drown it with people with that, because they're super expensive to do in the first place, and there's a lot of people that try to do them all, and they're going to get to a point where they just can't get it. And if you can't do them all, then you're going to get mad and not want to do any of them. So, yeah, they'll ruin it.
So, yeah, like Vinyl Nation and everything. They just got to saturate it all. They got to
Stitch,
drink.
Frozen, Baby Yoda, anything and everything is overdone. So
it's like, it was so nice. They had this little niche time of year where everybody would plan for it all year. All the racers like Mike Rahman and all from Be Our Guest podcast, and they would all the different shows would have their runners. It was something that was special every year. Am I wrong? And now it's every single time you turn around, there's a stupid race. And they're only doing it because they want money. You stay for a few days. I get it. But come up with something else to draw people. They just, it's the same thing with their movies. Like, and the sad part was, I was just going to bring this up and I'll go there, because I don't want to just pick on Disney. I want to pick on Hollywood in general. I don't have nothing against Jenna Ortega. I think she's a good little actress. She's an adorable little thing. But did you see her as the new Batgirl?
No.
She's going to be the new DC Batgirl. One, how many Batgirl? What is there? Is there, what's it, 75 different Batgirls now, John?
Several. There's a couple different Catwomen, too. So.
The point of it is can't they come with? Isn't there like a, how about a Seagull Steve or a Seagull Man? Can we come up with another? Out of all these years, can either DC or Marvel actually come up with a new superhero?
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Something truly unique and different. Yeah.
Yeah. Can we do that? I mean, can we create one? Is there another? What was the dude that created Marvel? What's his name?
Stanley.
Can we create another? Is there not another Stanley out there? Apparently, there's not another. We know there's not another Walt Disney. We've been praying for one. And if we ever needed another Walt Disney, the Disney company needs it right now. But there is not another creative mind to come up with another something besides another Batgirl. And the thing of it is the story doesn't look bad. I'll probably watch it. But have you ever seen Jenna Ortega?
No, I don't even know who she is.
You would know her when you see her. I might be speaking out of court here or out of turn here, or I'm not 100% sure. But from what I see, she's 5'2", 95 pounds, and she's going to be a superhero. And the thing of it is Batgirl is like Batman, don't actually have powers, can actually just fight. It isn't like she has some kind of superpower. Am I wrong about this, John, or am I speaking out of turn?
No, you're supposed to have a good athlete, be able to fight, and then have the super gadgets. That's Batman. Yeah.
But it isn't like she has super strength or something like Hulk or,
nope.
you know.
Nothing like that.
Exactly. So it's like, I don't know, but can any of these companies like come up with an original anymore? I mean, they're already talking about Top Gun 3 after the money they made off of Top Gun. And I'd be all for it. I'm a Maverick and Goose kind of guy, but it's like, the originals aren't any that good anymore unless they're series. It seems like all the good stuff is going to Netflix, Hulu, or Prime.
Well, Doug, I mean, they made Tom Cruise an action hero for the last, 30 years, and he's, shorter than I am. So, I mean, it not necessarily is unheard of in Hollywood.
Okay, I will give him, he has a little bulk to him. Jenna Ortega is a cute little pixie kind of girl. I'm serious. She's
little wisp of a thing, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, she's a little tiny thing. She's adorable. She's a beautiful young girl. I have nothing against her. I mean, I think she's a good actress. She's been in a few things that's been really good. And the reason they're putting her in it, because she's the new it thing. But she's a little, I don't see her beating, she's smaller than the Penguin. She could hide behind the Penguin, John.
Oh, that'd be good.
I think the Seven Dwarfs are bigger than her, John. Oh, I'm sorry, I said dwarfs. Please don't cancel me, people. But anyhow, that's my thing. I wish Disney is saturating. To run Disney, and I feel sorry for people like you said, and I'm sure they'll go because Mike will go, but like, there's so many people that have done them all, so now they're going to have to make a decision. Am I continue to do them all, or am I just going to give this up and stop? Because I don't know anybody can afford to do all these, unless you're a millionaire. What's your thoughts?
No, it's not only the entrance fee, the entrance fee is a lot of money, and then you got to come down here, and then you got to stay for a night or two. So, yeah, they're going to get to a point where people will start stopping. But, I mean, Disney never sees that. They don't plan that far ahead. They're just looking for the immediate cash return. And not to mention how inconvenient you make everybody else that's not running.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not easy to get to work. It's not easy to get to work. It's not easy to get home. It's not easy for any of our guests to get to the Magic Kingdom or Epcot. So, I mean,
park hours are
a huge ordeal.
Yeah, park hours are delayed and moved around, and your trip is changed because this one came out of nowhere. We do this show for, it's a hobby, but we've done over 800 episodes, and it was nice. Our buddy Mark, who I was trying to help do a one-day deal, he was trying to be nice to us, and I really appreciate it. And he thanked us. He's like, he really made me feel good. He goes, 800 episodes is a major accomplishment. He's like, most people quit before 100. And you guys have really continued, and he thanked us. So he thanked you too, John. It wasn't just me. He actually said you're his favorite, so don't get all upset here.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
You're everybody's favorite. Nobody really likes me, John. They just tune in for you now.
No, I think they tune in to hear you bitch and moan and me to go, that ain't that bad.
Dude, Tonto and the Lone Ranger. You know what I'm saying, buddy? You're my Tonto. And Tonto and the Lone Ranger, I'm Tonto, actually. I'm the Indian. But the actual original one was a real Indian, John. It wasn't Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp.
Yep. Oh, dude. There was a but anyhow, Batman and Robin, John. You're my Robin to my Batman, okay? You look good in tights, John, from what everybody tells me, so.
Let's tell another lie.
Okay. But anyhow, thank you, Mark. We really appreciate your kind words and the email you sent me and all that stuff. It really meant something to me. And it really meant something because he was asking about Presley, which Presley's right next to me right now, which makes me so happy. And I think Presley's done the second most episodes, John.
You're probably right.
I think it's Presley, you, Dennis, and then Scott.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
And Bob.
And Bob, I'm sorry, Bob. Bob and Scott are pretty close.
Yeah, actually, yeah, you might be right.
Yeah, to be honest with you, those two are pretty close. So, but anyway, Presley's right here laying next to me doing the show. But speaking of Johnny Depp, yesterday I went to Street Outlaws with my brother, and it was a great time. We left here. I left my house at 6:30 yesterday morning, and I didn't get home till 9:30 last night. So that's a long day for Dougie. But we had and we had a really great time. The weather was perfect. All the Street Outlaws were really great. Me and my brother did the Rockstar one, which gets you into a driver's meeting. We got to talk to all the drivers and hang out with them, which was really cool. They're all car mechanics and down to earth just like us, if you get what I'm saying. That's what's really nice about them. Nothing is going to their heads, if you follow me. But we were sitting there watching the races, and, dude, it had like a 15-mile-an-hour wind and a bright, sunny day yesterday. So not only did I get sunburn, I also got face burn. I got 11 different kinds of sunblock here at the house and forgot to take a single one because of the time of the year it is. And number two, they didn't sell any at the track yet because the lady said it's April. We didn't get it in yet. I said, well, I think you should. But the worst part is my lips are all burnt. Like, not burnt bad. They're just dry, like from the sun. I got sunburned. But
yeah.
I got
and
sun.
Wind. Yeah.
Yep. I got sun and wind burned, but burn. But yeah, we bet on all the races, me and my brother. We bet 50 a race, and everybody around us thinks it's $50, but it's 50 cents. So we're real cool. And I'm up $13.50, John. So, and he hasn't paid yet. So I gotta get foot and butt over this one. But there was one of the races, like, we take turns picking back and forth, because there's over 100 races that go down between the right main event, and then you got your weekly locals that race. They got the small tire. They got all different classes, 7-0. So we bet on every race that he picks, I pick, he picks, you know, back and forth. And then there was one car that was, you could tell, was so much faster, but it had Johnny Depp in the back window. I took the loss before I would take that car. it had Captain Jack, like a pirate with Captain Jack in the back of it.
Yeah,
and I never rooted for a car to blow up so much in my life. Not to hurt anybody, but just not to go down the track. Not even blow up, just not make it down the track. And the good thing was he didn't make it down the track, Johnny. He missed gears, and he drove like Johnny Depp talks. So, but
wait. Oh, with an English accent? Yeah, so he was English, so he tried to drive from the left side of, the right side of the car, right?
No, he drove like it was a British vehicle. It was an American car, and he was acting like it was British. And come on, face it, Britain's never made a good vehicle, John. Think about that. They don't really make automobiles, do they, that are that good? You got MGs. There's not many things that come.
Rolls Royce and Jaguars.
Yeah.
At one time. I mean,
Jaguar's more of a German sports car, John, not British.
I thought that was originally British.
And James Bond drove it, but I thought it was German. Here we go.
All of that stuff may be now, you know.
Yeah, but we gotta look that up. I could be wrong, but even a Jaguar, they're funny.
And Rolls Royce was certainly British. I mean, they had Rolls Royce engines in their airplanes during World War II.
Yeah, it takes place in Britain, John. You're right. So, but yeah.
Woo!
No, is Jaguar a German main car? Jaguar is a British luxury vehicle owned by Tata Motors, one of the largest manufacturers. So yeah, they're face it, they're down the pike, Jaguar. But anyhow, we had a really great time. They put on a great event. Maple Grove Raceway is a really nice racetrack. If you're ever in the area, it's a fun. Somebody else bought it like 3 years ago, and it's really nice to see they dump some serious money into this track. Like, all the equipment's brand new now. It's nice to see, because a lot of these tracks are shutting down because of idiots, John. You know, the idiots that buy Lightning Lane. These are the same idiots. Yeah. I'll explain to you why I'm calling them idiots after I take a drink.
So same people that buy Lightning Lane on the racetracks. Interesting.
No. They're the same idiots. They're the same type of people, in my opinion, that buy a house near a golf course and bitch and moan that their house gets hit by a golf ball or golf balls in their backyards. They're the same idiots to buy a house along the ocean and don't want people swimming in the beach on front of their house. Or, oh, the noise on the beach. I bought this place. I don't want to know. It's my beach now. Because your house is off the beach, you own this beach now. And we don't want you people coming down here. We're those people, John. I pay for the taxes that help feed that ocean. But when I come down to go on their boardwalks and beaches, I'm the people they don't want. And they're the same people that buy a house near a drag strip and bitch about the noise. And that's what's going on with a lot of these drag strips. The people are bitching and moaning, oh, the noise, the noise. I don't want the noise. Well, why'd you buy the house there then? A lot of these tracks, there isn't many new tracks that have gone in. Most of them have been built around. So deal with it. It's only a seasonal thing. Deal with it. Like I don't understand how the people around the racetracks can't deal with it, but the same people that live around the racetrack will take a trip down the shore and be mad at the people that the shore that are bitching that they're visiting for the summer. Yeah.
Well,
and
Doug,
you got the same deal with Florida, John.
I own a house very near the Withlacoochee River, and the Withlacoochee River is a shallow river with a lot of swamp areas. So what kind of boats go on that river, Doug?
Mm-hmm.
Airboats, Doug. Yeah, and yeah. Airboats are extremely loud. But when we bought the house, we kind of knew where it was, didn't we? So, yeah, you going to bitch about hearing airboats every weekend? You can't. I mean, you know what you're in for. I mean,
100%. But, see, you're not the idiot. But the idiot that buys the Lightning Lane, as soon as they bought the house, would be, hello, Mr. Mayor. I want to sign a petition to stop all the airboats over by my house. I want it stopped. I want restitution for these airboats. Because that's what happens. The same idiots that live up here in New York and New Jersey and Pennsylvania that want to move to Florida and then bitch, they want to change all the laws down there. Well, no, there's no taxes down there. Your taxes are slowly going up because more and more Northerners are moving there, John, and changing their way of thinking. You get what I'm saying, John. But anyway, a lot of tracks are going away because of people moving into the neighborhoods, wanting them to go away. And the local politicians, again, just like our ones that are in office, they don't care what's right or wrong. All they care about is staying in office. So how many signatures do you have? That might be more than 50% of the constituents that I need to vote for me. So I say we get rid of it. Because all that matters is I'm back in office collecting a pension. Right, John?
That's it.
So.
Re-election campaign.
Yeah. But anyway, my Phillies are doing good. My Sixers are doing bad.
Yeah, I saw that. Magic lost, too. And so did the Lightning today. So, yeah, none of our teams in the playoffs are kicking it real in just yet. You know? A little lackluster.
Yeah. And Joel Embiid, I love the dude, but he's one of these guys, I don't know, he might live near a golf course bitching, I'm not sure yet, but he's one of these dudes that he listens too much to the radio, and everybody was saying he can't slam or whatever. He's dominating that game, we're winning, we're doing good, and then all of a sudden he has to show, not only can he slam, watch me throw it off the backboard and slam and blow my knee out again. Like, what was that about? Did you see that play?
No, I didn't, but...
That's how he hurt himself again. We're hoping he came back and played the second half, but he wasn't the same. But he passed the ball to himself off the backboard and slammed over two people, but then he landed alone on that left knee and twisted it again. So, you know, because he was trying to prove a point. I'll show them I can still slam. I really don't care that you can slam, Joel. I just want you to stand there, and people will not drive the lane if you're there.
Just play a role, man. Just play a role.
Yeah, don't have to slam, dude. But.
Yeah, I think, Doug, if you were a professional athlete nowadays or if you're anywhere in the public eye, best thing you could ever do is to stay the hell off of Facebook. Don't read any emails about yourself. Don't pay any attention to the radio. And just do your job as you see fit. Because, man, and no matter what you do in the world, people are going to bring you down. So.
Hey, John. Do you know how many, I look at it as, like we've said a million times, please go to iTunes, leave a review. Not many people do it anymore. Like, I notice a lot of that nobody's getting them, but Even that bad one, when they call me Pete and Joe, I appreciated it. I mean, I don't care. It's like me bitching that somebody has something to say about me. Hey, say all you want. I know who I am. I ain't thin-skinned. I'll attack you because I will defend myself, but I don't mind people saying something. I put myself out here. Just like all these movie stars and all. You have no idea how hard it is. These people, the movie business, I don't want my kids going in it. God forbid they make millions and millions of dollars a year. I mean, come on, dude. It's like you put yourself out there. It's part of it. Am I wrong, John? Occasionally a kid throws up on your school bus, on your bus, don't they, John? Or throw crap around.
Code V. We've got a code V.
Yeah. It happens. It's part of your job. You knew when you started driving that Disney bus, you're going to be carting kids around. There's a pretty good chance there's going to be certain messes made on that bus. Am I wrong?
It happens.
You should go to Disney.
Actually,
listen, I just want to drive the bus. I want nobody on it. And I want to get paid for the day. Driving the bus is what I want to do. I don't want any of the inconvenience that comes with it. Is that how a job goes, John?
Yeah, man, that sounds great.
Yeah. Well, that's what they want, dude. But anyway, I listen to these podcasts, and they trash people all day long. They just trash. They put their two cents in on every single thing. Like, almost every movie star that used to trash podcasts. You remember back in the day when we started this 10 years or 12 years ago, and I used to talk about how everybody would say podcasts are stupid. They didn't even know what it was. I agreed. I thought Lou Mangiello, we were saying it was going to be the wave of the future. But you know what I'm talking about. All Howard Stern, everybody trashed these podcasts. Now everybody and their brother has one. They're all making money off them, but all of them want to bitch when somebody has something to say about them. Or how, you know how hard it is growing up with social media now, John? Now, when I was a kid told you were stupid. Instead of writing about it, what was the difference, John? Now the kids don't have the nerve to tell you you're stupid. They can write it down, but it's the same thing. All my friends told me when I was stupid. And I do this show, and a lot of people call me stupid. I get a lot of emails, dude, that you want to know? I appreciate you writing it, good or bad, and I sleep very well that night, John, because I put myself out there.
There you go.
Do you agree with me on all that?
To the degree that celebrities and stuff like that, but yeah, I do feel bad for some. Say, for example, Doug, when I was in 7th grade, uh-huh. Say one of the kids in my class in 7th grade said something, the teacher overheard it, and then said, John called somebody fat, because yes, John was a little porker, which was an embarrassing thing, because the teacher's sarcastic remark of me, I didn't call anybody fat, but the fact that she was amazed that I would call somebody fat when I was so fat myself, and I wasn't that fat. But anyway, so I was horribly embarrassed that day, right? So that day, but by the next day, everybody in that class had gotten over it and went on about their lives. Things happened, right? Mm-hmm. Now, suppose nowadays that event or something a lot worse was recorded and put on Facebook, and then every day that kid went to school, another kid would pull it up and play it before class. I think that's the dangerous thing of social media, is because things don't get you don't forget, you don't move on now, and I see that as a danger for kids nowadays getting bullied.
Yeah,
and I got bullied, believe me. So
yeah, well, when I was a kid, I mean, it was nowadays. When I was a kid, and this is the God's honest truth, there wasn't a week that went by in my high school that there wasn't multiple fights, fist fights, every day. And it was just, that's what kids do. And they just got separated and put in their own way. Now if that happens, that ain't even allowed to happen anymore. Like,
No.
You know, so there was a different kind. We all survived it. It's like, I get it, but it's like, you know, then delete Facebook from your kids. Be present. Get rid of Facebook then. Nope, there isn't a God-given law that you have to have. You got to pay taxes and die.
No, you're absolutely right.
Rid of it. So. Spend more time with, like a lot of it, spend more time with your kid and get them away from it then. And I get it. It's hard. I'm not trying to push it off. But, you know, the same thing with the kids around. I get it. But the point of it is it's the celebrities and all that, that was the point I was trying to make. It.
Yeah.
They cry, they moan, they act like that's the hardest thing that you ever could do was being an actor or actor. I don't, like Mayim Bialik, she don't let her kids watch TV, but like she's on, she won't let her kids watch TV.
That is so hypocritical.
Yes, and I love the Big Bang Theory, but every time I see her, my head wants to explode. And she's sitting there telling me she'll lecture you how bad television is for your kids. Like, what do you, don't you want to just, I'd like to say stuff, but I'll get in trouble too. But you get my point, John. It's like, do you even hear yourself when you hear that?
I guess that would be like me getting on here and saying, don't go to Disney. It's ridiculous.
Yes.
Why would you go spend all your money at Disney?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Stupid no. People ride buses.
I mean, yeah. No.
Me. Yeah, let your house decay. Don't remodel it.
Yeah. Why worry about that? Just keep living like you do. That's
fine. Yeah, casinos.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah, don't go to the casinos and gamble. I don't want to work down there no more. I mean, it's like, stop. I mean, I just don't get them.
Drywall's fine.
I listen to them every day.
Don't need to.
Yeah. You know, it's so sad. I think society got to the point where the bottom line is nobody can take a joke. That's the problem. Everybody is just so serious. You call me a big nose old man, I fine if that's how you feel. I'll laugh about it. I got a big nose and I'm an old man. I don't know what to tell you, John. I ain't going to lose any sleep on it. Now you get in my space or get nasty with me, we're going to have a problem, but go do what you do. Just as long as you're listening to the show, thank you. I'll laugh. This week I'll be getting emails. Hey, big nose old man, I enjoyed your show this week. Ah, that's great. But anyhow, tell you what, it's freezing as heck up here today, John. It went down to like 50 degrees and 35 last night, the low. It's a little nippy, John.
I think we're supposed to get a little bit of that tomorrow. It's supposed to rain, cool off a little bit. And I think today it got to 89, but it's been 91, 92 all week. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind going back to the low 80s for a little bit before we have to be in the 90s every friggin' day. So.
Yeah, we're supposed to get in the 70s a day this week and then all next week, which I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to not swimming in puddles around here anymore. Oh, Johnny. Did you hear Disney finally got their first Michelin star?
Yeah, Victoria Alberts. I saw that on our Disney Cast Life news thing today. So, yeah, good for them. It's about time. I'm surprised that never had a Michelin star. I really am, but...
No, I honestly thought it did already.
Yeah.
Well, that goes to show you how hard it is for you to get it to have Michelin star.
Yeah, exactly. I mean... from everything that I've heard, it of course, Victoria and Albert's is massively expensive, but everything I've heard is it's a once-in-a-lifetime dining experience at the same time, you know, so, but yeah, I'm kind of surprised that they didn't have a Michelin star, so.
Yeah, I think Pat has eaten there, what, 10, 15 times himself?
I think Mr. Robbie Bottoms has got a reserved seat, so.
I don't know
if this table they set aside for him.
I honestly don't know if this is up to Robbie standards, John. I really don't.
Just one Michelin star?
Just one? No, I'm a three Michelin star kind of guy. I think Gordon Ramsay's has three or four Michelin stars, dude. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, a little bit.
So, what do we have here? Victoria and Albert's Disney's Grand Floridian Resort has been awarded a Michelin star for 2024. I guarantee you the people that award these Michelin stars live near a golf course and complain about it and don't want racetracks around. I'm just saying, John. Michelin.
You gotta have a hell of a discerning palate to do that stuff. So I'm sure I'd taste anything and go, oh, that's good.
I think I could do it, John.
Okay.
Michelin says, nestled within Disney's crown jewel, the Grand Floridian Resort, this restaurant is by no means an easy reservation, but the reward is a kind of a magic rarely seen these days, John. The setting is intimate, and the pacing is that of a leisurely 3-hour waltz orchestrated by a gracious brigade of veteran servers. Chef Matthew Sowers cooks with contemporary vivre and draws on influences spawning from Asian to the Nordics. The delicate tarts set within the New Zealand Lagerstein, striking sandwiches made with venison and carpaccio in a red cabbage, John. Are you reading this, buddy? Or listening? Ooh-wee. I'm reading this. You listening to what I'm reading? Striking, it says, and bold sauces like cherry, cola, bourdonnais. Other details like water list and ornate coffees and tea services and serious wine program further impress. I like how the Michelin. I never knew the Michelin star was also the Michelin man. I never knew those two were the same.
Yeah, actually, I saw that a couple of weeks ago. It was originally started. Do you know why the Michelin man's white and not black? He's made out of tires. Why is he white instead of black?
Because of the raised ladders? I don't know.
No, because the rubber is really solid white when it's made, but they add charcoal and some other substances to give it more lifespan for the tire.
Okay.
And so that gives it its black coloring. But so that's why the Michelin man's always been white, made out of tires. But
I also would think too, if they were white, they'd get kind of scuffed up from the blacktop.
I would think so. Yeah, it'd be a little ugly, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
From what I remember, it was originally intended as when you got your Michelin map, they would put stars on certain restaurants to indicate whether it was worth driving off the beaten path, worth making a special trip for.
Now that you mention that, I remember reading something like that. Yes.
Ringing
that a bell.
Type of thing. Yeah. Yeah. What it's worth, you know, how far it's worth driving for.
Oh, that's awesome. Good job there, John. Good work by you. Off the cuff, too.
I know, right?
Yeah, you're smarter than the average Disney bus driver. I got to give you that.
Johnny on the spot.
Yeah. You know what some Johnny on the spots are, though, too, John, don't you?
You leave that alone.
I used quite a few of them yesterday. And
I'm sure you have.
They weren't that clean. Well, we did. We did, because I did that Rockstar VIP. We had a set of outside Spotta pots that were strictly just for VIP, and they were spotless.
Nice.
So, Carmen and them and Tommy and Judith will get on me for my their preferred parking. I bought preferred toilets, John.
You know, we all have our own priorities. Yes. So I might have to go with yours. I'll walk the extra half mile. So.
Anyway, a Michelin star is awarded to restaurants offering outstanding cooking. Michelin takes into account 5 universal criteria, John. The quality of the ingredients, the harmony of the flavors, the mastery of the techniques, the personality of the chef as expressed through their cuisine, Johnny, and consistency across the entire menu over time. In addition to the Michelin star, Israel Perez of Victoria & Albert's is awarded the 2024 Michelin Guide Florida Service Award winner. That's pretty awesome, though.
Dude, I bet he makes bank.
Yeah, I bet you Bob didn't give him the raise he deserved, John.
I don't know if he did. If he's a server at Victoria & Albert's, he probably doesn't need a raise. Man, can you imagine the tips he gets?
Dining at Victoria & Albert's at Walt Disney World is known for being a high-end, luxurious experience, and the cost reflects that the prices can vary depending on the dining options you choose. The dining room, the prefix menu in the main dining room, costs around $295 per person, not including tax and gratuity. The Queen Victorian Room, this is the more intimate experience and is priced at about, what do you think, John?
$450.
Oh, you were a little high, $375, and that don't include tax and gratuity, John. Talk about making bank, John. If that sold out every night, what kind of bank is that making?
Lots and lots of money.
A whole lot of money, Johnny. Where are we at?
I will tell you, they do buy the best stuff. I delivered a lot of products out there for Culinary Classics. And, yeah, they only buy Kobe and Wagyu beef. They only buy strict free-range organic chicken. It is the freshest seafood, so it's all beautiful stuff. But
I'm looking forward to, like I said, we finally do heave up and pick everything up and move out of here. That'll be something we would do. I wouldn't mind if I had an annual pass. We were going whenever we wanted, anniversary, birthday, something like that. It would be worth doing once every year, or every couple years. You know what I'm saying? Be an experience.
Yeah. If you had, you'd almost have to go ahead and have a. I tell you what, I'll get the two rooms at the Grand Floridian on my DVC points, and then you pick up dinner. How about
that? There you go. Yeah, that would be worth it.
Yeah, because you'd almost want to just stay at the Grand Floridian after you've eaten there, wouldn't you?
Especially
if you're gonna get the wine pairing. So.
Yeah, that would be, and it would probably be pretty close because if the four of us ate there, so what are we talking? 400? That's 1,600, John, for just the meal.
God.
And then gratuity, 20% of that. That's another 400. You're talking $2,000 for four people.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about once a year. That might be once in a lifetime experience. I would like to do it once, though.
Yeah, but anyway, if you weren't staying, if it's a grand apiece, you know what I'm saying? Because if the two of you go, if me and Brenda just went, it's $375, $375. So there's $750. So 20% of that, you got to give at least a couple hundred bucks. Buck and a half. I would give 200. I just rounded off to 1,000 and called it a day, you know, because that's how I am. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, might as well, right?
Yeah. No, it's kind of like, you know, the tips, a $14 tip or I never ask for the change. I just give a 20. You know,
Yeah.
Like even Brenda goes to me, because I'll say, okay, am I giving them a 20? And she goes, well, then ask for change. You know I ain't going to ask for change. I feel like when I hand that cash in a menu, it is hard for me. If I give them 100 and the bill's like, say, $67 or something like that, $70, it's hard for me to say, give me change if I have no other change for the tip. It sucks, but that's just who I – it's weird, dude. It's weird. So if I was a server, I'd be like, if I knew me, I'd say, man, get the cheaper thing. You only got a $100 bill on you? I'm going to get more of a tip here. But anywho, did you hear about this smell-o-fint, John?
A smell-o-fint?
A smell-o-fint.
No, I don't believe I have not heard of a smell-o-fint.
And we're not talking about my brother farting in the truck.
Is that what he calls it? Smell-o-fint!
That's what I call it. But anyway, the first smell-o-fint arrives at Disney's Magic Kingdom for the new interactive experience. New act debuting soon, it's saying. It's an elephant statue like all the other ones, like them gold ones that are throughout the park. But he's over by Big Top, over that area.
Yep.
Storybook Circus. The first major set piece for the new smell-o-fint on parade experience have arrived at Storybook Circus at Walt Disney's Magic Kingdom. And it's saying, where are we at here? I'm just looking at pictures. The first smell-o-fint statue installed near Dumbo attractive standby line is reminiscent of a favorite circus snack, popcorn. As others arrive, guests will encounter additional circus-themed smell-o-fints featuring fragrances provided by Scenti, like churros, cotton candy, and more. Oh, you know why they're putting these in, dude. You smell that, you're going to go buy it.
Yep.
I mean, they look cute and all, but there's going to be a few of them around. So they're basically just going to fart out popcorn, and you're going to go buy some.
Well, isn't that what Main Street does anyway? I mean, they fart out all the candy smells all the way up and down the street. So.
Yeah, so that's what's apparently going to happen. Hey, baby, you smell that smell-o-fint? Oh, I'm in the mood for some cotton candy.
I don't know. The worst one of all those places that do that, it's the biggest mislead in the world, is Burger King. Burger King smells so freaking good, and their burgers taste like crap.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, but man, does it smell good when you drive by one. So. Mm-hmm.
Always. Our post offices buy one. And I can't stand Burger King. They're probably my least favorite of all fast food restaurants.
I tend to agree with you. I'm not a big fan either. But they smell good.
I mean, I'll be honest. Burger King and McDonald's, I barely see either one of them ever. I mean, the two the only one I really go to anymore is Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, I like Chick-fil-A, but... when I do my overtime shifts and I get off at 12:30, it's right to Taco Bell because that's the only place open, and I can get 4 burritos for less than $10. So,
that's
I mean,
fine.
Yeah, two for JJ and two for me. So it works out good.
Well, my old stomach just can't fight back Taco Bell, dude. Every time I eat a Taco Bell, I tell my the bell rings. So
Taco Bell becomes Taco Smell. Yes, yes, I know.
And now we get Doug could be a smell-a-fant. according to the latest Walt Disney World operating calendar, Mickey Short's Theater at Disney Hollywood Studios is closing for a month-long refurbishment. The closure will begin April 29th and reopen on the 24th. Reopening on May or 25th. It's going to be closed to the 24th. There is no word yet whether there will be changes to the show or update to the theater itself. John, I don't know. I've been out and that theater's closed more than it's open. What about you? Or am I just thinking it's closed?
I'm trying to think of where this is. What the Shorts Theater at Studios. Is that at the end of One Man's Dream or is that something else?
No, it's something else. It's over, it's over the other side towards ABC Commissary, towards all those buildings.
Wow, no, so it must be closed because I couldn't remember. I don't even know if I've ever been in there ever. So no, I have no idea where it is. So,
Tiana's Bayou construction continues, John. They're doing a not soft opening, but they're doing testing.
Yeah, rumors are sometime this week we might have the dates as to our previews. So I'm hoping to see something. I'm hoping they just don't skip us altogether. I mean, they haven't lately on new stuff, so they've been really good. I think the last one they skipped us was Rise of the Resistance, but everything else since then that's reopened or opened, we've had previews for. So.
Well, I'm hoping to do an overnight flight down, John.
There you go.
Yeah. Anyhow, no, me and Brenda, I might have to cancel it this week because we were thinking about doing it, but we want to, I'll give a little tip out there, and I don't know if people knew this. At Staples, you can go and get your TSA TSA pre for flying.
Like, get what, your
approval. Yeah, you go.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It's like $70 for, I forget, I think it's 3 years. I'm not sure how many years it is, but... TSA pre-check, so this way you don't have to do it when you get to the airport. So me and her is thinking about going to do it. I signed this up for Tuesday, but I'm not sure if we're going to be able to get there Tuesday night or not. So we'll see what happens. Yeah. But anyhow, that would make life a lot easier, John. TSA pre-check.
Yes, it would.
So
on the way down and the way back, on the way down and the way back up, both. So.
Yeah. I end up getting first class tickets and TSA pre-check, John. I'll be in pretty good shape.
Man, and you're the one to make fun of hoity-toity people.
Hey, dude.
Private toilets. I mean, God. Yeah,
dude,
Doug, I mean, geez,
I know it's not worth it, but the first class for me to fly down is so worth it to my wife to not have me aggravated on that plane. Because there's few things that piss me off more than the moron that wants to put his bags over my seat. Or fight me. Or when the plane lands and everybody has to literally fight like animals to get their bag. They just can't, nobody can just let Rose be called. Everybody has to grab, like fight like animals to get off a plane. Am I wrong?
Yeah, except for me. I just keep reading. Usually I have a book, and I read another 10 pages and wait until everybody's off the plane. So,
yeah, I
don't care.
So with me, it allows me not to be all my when I don't fly first, if I'm not up front, how can I put it? My nerves are so, I'm wrapped so much tighter than I normally am. I mean, you guys know how wrapped tight I am as it is. So for me, like the one flight with the dude trying to fight Brenda over her armrest, you know, that was like really close to me being flight marshals. You know what I'm saying? So, but anyway, I'm hoping to get that so I don't have to deal with anybody, John.
There you go. That'd be nice.
It's saying your temperatures did you got scorched down there for a little bit.
Yeah, I said it was in the 90s, so yeah, it's good. The one thing is our humidity is not extravagant yet, so I mean it's in the 90s, but it's a little more like all those people out west say, you know, it's a dry heat. I don't know if it's a dry heat here, but it's certainly not as bad when it's, you know, 93 and you got a 89% humidity. So, but it's still hot, man. You get in the sun, you get fried real quick.
Before I met my beautiful wife and my years of dating, I dated a girl that her mother and her father got divorced, and her mother moved to Arizona, and her uncles lived out in Arizona, and they would say they moved there. It's dry. It's not like, it's not humid at all. It's wonderful. She went out there, she came back, she's like, no way I could ever, ever, ever live there. She goes, you literally would run from your house to your car to get in the car. She goes, there's a reason why there's no grass.
Yeah. It's hot and dry and miserable. So No, I understand people, they're just like humidity and stuff like that, but I grew up with it. So I mean, my skin is very dry to begin with. I can't live in a dry environment anyway.
No. I get it dry, to
do okay, so but
it's just like when everybody says, like up here, my buddy Donnie goes, hey, Dougie. I'm talking about going down here. He goes, I could never go in August because I said I go in August a lot because it's my birthday. I could never, buddy, I could never go. And I'm like, what's the difference between 94 here and 98 there? Like, that's hot, John. It gets hot up here. I mean, it isn't much different. The humidity up here gets ridiculous, too. So it's like when it's hot, it's hot. The only thing I could say is, you guys have more air-conditioned places than we do, so...
Yes, I guarantee you I know all about that. The first... When I first got stationed up there, Doug, I went into a couple of drugstores, you know, the old ones. They didn't have air-conditioning, and I'm like, what in the world is this? I went to an old grocery store that didn't have air-conditioning, and it boggled my mind because... I mean, growing up in Florida, everywhere had air conditioning from a long time ago, you know?
Yeah, the point is, you guys, it's just like where we live, and it snows really bad. Certain towns still aren't prepared, and it isn't as good as, like, you go to the Poconos, they can get 37 feet of snow, and the roads are perfect, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they're prepared for it, absolutely. Yeah.
So, you know, that's the difference. It's like, stop. Like, Florida's more prepared. I know how to go to Disney World, and I could basically be out of the heat all day if I need to.
People are asking me that this, you know, because they are so hot, and they're getting on 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The kids are exhausted and they look bedraggled and everything. And I'm like, you go to the Magic Kingdom, you run, you do all the, you get up early, first of all, you're here at rope drop, and then you do outside queues in the morning by 11:30. You're done with that. Then you take lunch. Then you go around and you do all the shows. You sit in the air conditioning all afternoon. The sun gets over the zenith, and then you go back out. So, you know, I mean, if you're going to be there all day, that's what you do.
Well,
so.
What me and Brenda do, we've done it for, and we even do it in the core times of the year mostly. We get up early, we go to the parks, we come back to our room around 2 o'clock, we stay in the room, shower, re-shower, clean up, we stay in the room for a couple hours, and then we come back at night, and we're happy.
Yeah, and if you or, you know, if you don't have park hopper or you don't want to do that or you don't want to take the time or you're restricted to waiting on buses and stuff like that, and you're at the Magic Kingdom and you want to put the kid in the stroller, go to the Polynesian, park in the lobby, sit in the air conditioning for 2 hours, let your child take a nap and have a beer. You know, I mean, that's what you do, right? You get out of the sun for a couple of hours. So.
What else we have here? Two things going on at the Springs. One, John, they're finally tearing down more of that disgusting money pit, John.
Your favorite part?
No, removal of the NBA Experience steaming underway at Disney Springs. One of the biggest losers ever, John.
Oh, that was a bad idea. That one still amazes me. Universal couldn't make a NBA cafe work, but Disney went, well, they didn't try hard enough. Okay.
Stupid is as stupid does, John.
Like, well, that didn't work for them, but we're going to give it a bigger, better shot. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. And then preparation begins for the Disney Springs new Disney Dream, the Soar drone show. So I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, I'd be excited to see it too.
More upgrades coming to Epcot Parking Plaza, John. What's the upgrade? Self-parking now? No gate attendants?
I don't know. Rumor has it somebody hit one of the booths last week, but I don't know if that was just a rumor or what. But, no, the one thing I did notice when I pulled in there the other day for my overtime day is that one of the booths in the middle is just a newer booth. They had replaced the actual booth itself, so I don't know what that would mean
they're
to
being
much
replaced,
of anybody in.
Yeah, they're being replaced with new models following the same design as the kiosk added to the new parking entrance at Hollywood Studios. So they're going to look like that.
Yeah.
So I just hope they don't go to any freaking fast pass lanes, like, you know, like Easy Pass.
Somehow that would surprise me.
What's
there's
that?
A lot of people that get very frustrated. And that wouldn't surprise me if they actually came up with that idea.
No.
We'll say Doug gave it to him. Doug gave him the idea.
I'm surprised they haven't done it yet. I'm surprised they don't make, like, guests. If you have a car, they just give you an Easy Pass placard for the week that would scan to go through there. I mean, I don't want them to do it, but I'm shocked they haven't done it yet, John. I'm surprised they don't make you prepay for your preload something that fills up every time you go or something.
I don't know if you're going to have free parking anyway for being a guest. I wouldn't have a problem with actually a little placard that you could just zip past all the stuff. I mean, why should you have to stop anyway? You paid already in your way. You know, it's on your hotel bill. So.
Yeah, but aren't you surprised they haven't done anything like that yet?
Yeah. If they can figure out a way to institute that, I'm that's probably on their planogram.
Good to go day added to Walt Disney World pass holders in late April, so more and more of just go without reservations are there, you know, John, so.
That's nice.
Yeah, Disney launches My Disney single login for all your services. What the hell took them so long, John?
I don't know. It seems like that's been the way because, like, my Hulu is the same as my Disney Plus is the same as my Magic Band or my Disney Experience. Yep.
When you log in using your purse account information, you will now see the same My Disney login prompt everywhere you go asking for the same email and password. So, about time.
Yeah.
Parks and Experiences. But anyhow, yeah, everything they have, so it's about time. Permits filed for changes to Disney's Fort Wilderness Resort Recreation Area, John. What are they going to do now? Add something else and try to say it's like a campground and put in like something luxury over there? Make it contemporary and tell me it's still camping, like the cabins?
It's the cabins. Well, believe me, Doug, some of them RVs out there are not anywhere near camping. They're a lot more glamping than they are camping. So.
That's fine, but don't tell me it's a cabin. It's not a cabin. They're not cabins. They're trailers, dude. They're basically those little houses. Disney has filed new permits with the South Florida Water Management District to make changes to the recreation area of Fort Wilderness Campground. The plans for the Fort Wilderness Resort Meadows project permit shows the removal of the beach volleyball court, disc golf area, and which will be replaced with the new 5,530 square foot building and retention pond. It isn't clear from what the plans are what the building will be used for. I think it's to store all Bob Iger's money, John.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised it's pickleball courts. I mean, that's very popular down here.
Yeah, so. Maybe indoor ones.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's a place to put all the batteries from all the electric stuff that they can't dispose of, like everybody else is doing.
That's probably why they're still using Segways out there. They don't know what to do with the batteries out of them.
There's warehouse buildings full of dead batteries that they can't do anything with. Where are we at here? What else do we have? Did you hear? I was going to say something, but some husband and wife from New York, Staten Island got arrested for, they walked in, they were passed out drunk, and their kids called the security on them. They were fighting in the room. Like, what is wrong with people, John?
If your kids have to call the cops on you.
And they were 3 and 5 year olds, like, holy.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. They were both arrested and they deserved it.
You deserve to have your children taken away from you.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. It's a shame.
Irresponsible parents.
And in that case, the sad part is that the children are the one being punished.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It was at the Poly Resort.
Of course, because, you know, it's the poor people and the all-stars that cause all the trouble, Doug. Don't you know? That's why we can't give beer to people on Main Street. No, only the hoity-toity people. Oh, wait, it was in the Poly. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, they must have got drunk off of wine instead of beer, Doug. It's okay.
They said they came in the room and there was bags of alcohol. I'm not laughing at that. Just disgusting. It was like yesterday morning, dude. I'm at the race, and we're walking in at 10 a.m., and this dude goes to his buddy, goes, I can't believe you're drunk already. I'm like, what is wrong with you, man? I looked at him, and I made sure I looked at those two, and I told Don, I looked at Don, I don't know if he heard, like, see me, but I was like, I'm making a mental note. I need to stay away from this crowd, these group of people, for all day, because it'll be the best thing for me.
I'm going to tell you right now, Doug, I have no shame. I will not be drunk at 10 a.m., but if I go to the flea market, deep sea fishing, or the golf course, and there's beer available, I will certainly have a beer at 9 a.m., 9:30. I have not a qualm in the world about getting a breakfast beer, but that's me. So.
I can honestly say, since my Wildwood spring break days, I haven't had a beer before noon in 35 years.
Now, every time we go to the flea market out here, they have like fresh Bud Light on draft for $4.50, and I have to hit one almost as soon as we get into the market. So, it is what it is.
The last time I ever did that was, I remember my buddy Jason was, and we were in Wildwood for spring break, and he would put beer in his Cheerios to bite the dog that bit him the night before.
Oh, no. See, yeah, I'm not doing that type of stuff. No, that's disgusting.
Nah, like, even me, like, you know, maybe a mimosa, but I don't remember the last. I'm not an alcohol guy before noon. It just, I don't know. I just roll that way, John. Dude.
Hey, you do you.
Now, all the wonderful things you said about your mom with balloons and all this stuff, John, you got to get yourself one of these. It's called Opalescent Mickey Balloon Sipper arrives at Walt Disney World. It's a sipper that is shaped like one of the Mickey balloons with Mickey Mouse's face on it, and you can drink out of it, John. The top comes off.
They have a popcorn bucket. Yeah, they have a popcorn bucket too. So.
Well, this is a sipper. It's $24.99, but you could drink your 10 o'clock beer out of that, and everybody think you're cute.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Look at that cute old man drinking out of his sipper over there.
God bless him. He must be retired.
Yeah. What else do we have here, John?
So, yesterday, Doug, on my last run in the morning before lunch, I was doing Magic Kingdom to Riviera. I unloaded a wheelchair, opened the front doors, and nobody was getting on, or one guest was getting on, but then out of nowhere, a leader popped up, and one of the head honcho, not head honcho, but one of the honchos of transportation anyway, and she got on the bus and said, "Hi, Petey, I'm going for a ride with you to Riviera," and I go, "Oh, goody!" So she sat behind my shoulder and watched me the entire time, but she was actually pretty cool, and she gave me a couple of interesting rumors. Anyhow, I passed and everything was good. So yeah, it's all good. But with that, two of the newest raps coming, Doug. I'm gonna see if you can try to guess who the raps might be that are gonna probably be out in the next 6 months or so.
Tiana.
Bus raps. Nope.
No, it ain't gonna be Tiana.
One is a character that has no attraction or movie based on it, and one is a movie, but from the probably late 60s.
Movie from the late 60s?
Oh, yeah.
Huck Finn?
And I don't think it... No, it's an animated film. And I don't think it has much of a presence anywhere in the park. It's a well-known movie.
Flowers and Trees, Walt Disney World, that one,
Well,
tell me, John.
101 Dalmatians.
Oh, that's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, that would be very cool. Well, so.
Yeah, Emma Stone played in that, remember? In the live action.
In the newer, that's the newer action. I don't think I've seen any of those. I've of course seen the animated classic several times. I mean, that was one of the, if you remember correctly, back in the 70s, they would take movies from, I think, The Jungle Book, especially Pete's Dragon and 101 Dalmatians, and those were the movies that were re-released all the time, because there wasn't a whole lot of family movies back at them times. No. So when my mom wouldn't take me to the movies, we'd go see one of those, and it was just always a re-release. So. But and then what character do you think it's going to be?
I don't know, John. It's, now you got me I'm all over the place. I can't.
It's Citrus Swirl Guy, the orange bird.
The orange dude. I would have never in a million years guessed that. I was thinking about the old coal miner that on Toy Story maybe. Remember him, the one that was Fraser Crane? How about him?
Yeah, the one that farted in his box. Yes,
because
yes,
we're on that theme of
Pete.
Television.
Stinky Pete.
Yeah, Stinky Pete. Pete. Yeah, we're on the verge of a stinky elephant smell-o-vision, so the Stinky Pete. But that'll be
Orange
cool.
Bird.
Orange Bird. Orange Bird's going to be cool, but now we're all the people that... like Citrus Roll, drive that bus?
I will not. I only want to ride that bus. I will not ride the Dole Whip bus. There is no Dole Whip bus.
I can see that now. We need a Dole Whip bus. This is outrageous. Oh, my goodness. Let's continue with food then, John. Blue Ribbon Corn Dog sign installed at the Disney Boardwalk kiosk, John. Are you going to go over and try a corn dog?
I might, a hell of a lot quicker than I will try some tea. So,
and they got lemonade and strawberries here. I'm trying to see on the sign. Spicy Mexican street corn dog, John. It might be right up your alley.
I like Mexican street corn, but I don't know if I need it on a corn dog. But
and they got fluffy cotton candy here too, John.
That's the best kind. That's fluffy.
Yeah, I don't want any flat cotton candy.
No.
The new sign reads order and is on the blue doors on the side of the kiosk. It may be that guests will order here and then pick up at the window in front. So I'm curious what all will be sold here, John. But that fits the boardwalk. Not,
yes,
like
it does.
You said, tea and crumpets.
The foo-foo.
Yeah. Tickets now available for an afternoon with Disney's Bob Weiss, the Imagineer. One of the oldies but goodies. He'll be at Hollywood Studios for the 35th anniversary, so if you want to go see him. New limited edition Disney's All-Star Resort 30th Anniversary pin features cast member costumes. That would be pretty cool to have that, John.
Yeah, I guess there are some fans of the All-Stars.
I guess so. Family of the real-life Tiana will be the first to ride Tiana's Bayou Adventure, it says John.
That's cool.
Yeah, that is real cool. Oh, geez. There's some of these stories. There's two stories on here I just can't read on the air.
Okay.
They have new Star Wars Crocs and cardigans at Walt Disney World Resorts. I don't know, dude. I just can't do the Crocs. I'm not a Croc kid.
I'm not a big fan of the Crocs. I like, you know me, I like flip-flops and sandals, but you're not a flip-flop and sandal guy either. So.
Dude, I can honestly say these, and I got nice feet, John. I'm just saying. These nice feet have never had a pair of flip-flops or sandals on them in their life, and I never plan on it, dude.
You know what, Doug? I'll take all the flip-flops and all the 10 o'clock beers you can give me, sir.
There you go, Jimmy. They'll call you Johnny Buffett.
You know what? Yeah, I might have cried the day he died. So.
Yeah. I don't see much more here, John. There's just a lot going on. If you want to read about the Disney's disabled, the Disney disabled program, the disability access service updates, that's all over the place right now. There are so many scum that have took advantage of that should be ashamed of themselves. That's one thing, like, that I am so tired of people doing stupid stuff and then people being blamed for it. You know what I'm saying, John?
Yeah, it's
like
constantly happening.
Like me. I don't understand how I'm not, and don't take me the wrong way on this, and I know people probably will, but in some ways I really don't care. Like, if somebody breaks is on my property and Presley bites the crap out of them, and because I don't have a beware dog sign, I'm blamed for it, what the hell are you doing on my property? Like, I do construction, dude. When I go on people's property, I look where I'm going. I don't just go walking in or walking in somebody's yard, you know? Like, I'm so tired of people being hurt because they do the wrong thing, and then the person who does the right thing is blamed for it. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. The only thing I would say is, unless he's supposed to be there like a mailman.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, now if mailman gets bit, he's supposed to be there.
Yeah,
so,
100%.
I mean.
But my point is I got a backyard where he's fenced. Like, you walk in there, you enter at your own risk. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you walk into my house, like, the true story is somebody could walk and break into your house, and if your dog bites them, or if they walk and, like, if somebody went in my gate, is what I'm trying to say, and a dog bites you, if you don't have a beware a dog sign up, you are liable for it. Now, what the heck is that? It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts.
Well, down here, Doug, they're making people put warning pool on their pool enclosures. Because if a kid in the middle of the night goes wandering around your neighborhood and decides to go for a swim in your pool and he drowns, they can sue you.
Yeah,
so,
it's just,
you know.
Well, where's the parents at? Why aren't,
yeah,
see,
why is
my,
the kid in my pool?
Yeah, my problem with the whole country is parents are not held responsible for their kids doing anything. It's so sad. It's always somebody else's blame except for the parents. It's ridiculous. But yeah, why is the kid out wandering? Just like, like if you don't want your kid to watch something, why should I not be able to watch something because you can't keep your kid off of television or off a website?
Yeah.
Go in and program their phone and keep them off stuff. Take the phone from them. Listen to them cry for a half hour. The problem is most parents don't want to listen to them, so they just give them whatever they want to shut them up. And then when they come across something at 7 years old on a website or something they shouldn't be on, is because you gave them the phone to begin with. What's a 7-year-old doing with a phone, John?
Doug, what's a 3-year-old? And I see
exactly.
Lots of 3-year-olds playing with their... I don't know. Me and my son and Lisa were talking about this the other day. I think his generation, about 24 or 25 right now, they're the last generation to actually play with toys and use their imagination with Hot Wheels and you know, G.I. Joe action figures and all that type of stuff, because there, I don't think toys are sold anymore. There's no imagination in the world. It's everything is on this little 6x4 inch screen, and everybody playing a game.
Yeah, so. And it's also the same thing I'm talking about with Zoom people. Like, you know, you can't have kids playing out in the yard no more, playing tackle football or any of that stuff, because if they get hurt, first thing parents want to do is sue. It can't be they were just having a good time together. It's like every, it's very sad, but it's like I give my godson credit. His three kids, both the girls are in softball, dance, baseball. He just put the youngest, the 5-year-old, 6-year-old Logan, he's in jiu-jitsu now. And they go with them. They actually get them out. You go over to the house, they're outside on the big wheels, the ATV. You understand? They're doing stuff. It's like, get them out, do something with them. See, the problem is most of the parents, they sit them in front of the laptop, the iPad, the iPhone,
TV. That's babysitter, dog. Yeah, it's a babysitter.
They want to have all these kids, but they don't want to spend any time with them. And then they wonder why they turn out.
Kids are boring. They don't drink. They don't gamble. I mean, they want to spend. They don't understand the complexities of Game of Thrones. No. I mean, what do you want to hang out with a 6-year-old?
No, it's like, you know, and they want to know why the kids become knuckleheads. A lot of them do the stuff they do because they're crying for attention because they ain't getting any. But anyway, life goes on, John. Another Disney podcast.
This edition of Grumpy Old Men brought to you by
yes,
Geritol.
Yes, and Preparation H, because we're two buttheads. But anyway, if you want to go see Smellophants, go over to the Magic Kingdom. But anyway, John, that's going to be it. That's all. I mean, the $1.9 billion redo has been approved, but we still don't, we won't know etched in stone until D23 exactly what's going on. What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, they're going to want to sell another $1 million worth of tickets to let everybody know what's going on. I don't even think I'd want to go to that now, John. After I see what it's become, it's all it is you pay them to get information for you to go buy stuff from.
Pretty much.
You get nothing out of it. I mean, what do you actually get? I mean, to even meet and greet, now they have it where, not now, but they do. Every single guest on top of your ticket, you got to pay to go see a lot of the special events. And it just, okay, so what can we do here? We're going to open up a new theme park. So we're going to get all these people that, they already buy Genie Plus and Fastpass. What the hell? Why not charge them to hear the news on the parks? Don't pay it. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, so, why not?
So, or it was probably the other way around. These idiots already paid to come to D23, and they pay for a yearly subscription. Why wouldn't they pay for FastPass and Genie Plus? Why, let's just make them do it. Ain't that what you think, John?
That's pretty much what the company line thinks, I believe.
Uh-huh. So, I don't know. I'm still waiting for the new scanner to come on the bus where you got to pay for each individual ride.
I'm not collecting the money, so no, I'm not
sure. No, they'll have to wave that magic band. You'll have like one of the magic band. You'll be sitting there like they do entering the park, trying to get everybody to put their finger in the device to get on the bus. Yeah. There's always that one person that cannot get their figure out how to put that finger in and hit the device. Am I wrong?
It always happens. So yes, absolutely. And it always has to be in the line in front of me when I'm trying.
100%. I
can't. That line, three people over.
Yeah, I know. I can't remember if mine's never turned green for me, John. It ain't that difficult. So, but anyhow, everybody be kind to one another. If you want to give us emails or go over to iTunes and tell Doug is an idiot and a jerk and has a big nose and he's an old man, I'm all for it. Enjoy.
And John's a wannabe alcoholic because he's enjoying a beer at the flea market at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Make my day. Go ahead.
Yes. Anyhow, thank you guys. We really appreciate all you listening to this silly little show. We bitch and moan and groan, but we still do love Disney. Next week, we'll do a couple more menu reviews, John.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Talk to you later, guys. Say goodbye, John.
Bye, folks. Hold your strollers. Thanks.
That's it, guys. We're going to hop off our stools and pay our tabs and get on out of here. If you guys could you please head over to iTunes if you enjoy the show and leave us a review? We'd really appreciate it. Even if you don't, we'd really appreciate it. Also, you can head over to Twitter and find John at Beer Solo. You can find me at Grumpy6767. You can find us both at WDW Main Street on Twitter and Facebook. Also, head over to Podbeam and check out WDW Main Street, and you can find all our sponsors there. Everybody be kind to one another. We will talk to you real soon. Bye, guys.